Over 5 million people play football in the USA, and here to bring it to you in the raw, uncut, unadulterated is the undisputed number one sports show in Atlanta and abroad. 100 yards of football, live from headquarters. It's more than a game, more than a show. It's where football blends culture, economics, and society. Tap in, tune in, and lock in to 100 yards of football now.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA playoffs, fights, and even next season's futures. And don't forget that the MLB is back as well. Who are you picking to win the World Series? BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
Welcome to 100 Yards of Football. And here's our legend segment. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we got another great legend from the great city of Delray Beach, Florida. I got with me tonight not only a Delray legend, a Seacrest High School legend, Mr. Horace Bush. Horace, welcome to the show.
All right. How y'all doing again?
We're doing good, man. Boy, it's so good to have you on, man. And, you know, I've got so many memories of you, right? And then here's the most amazing thing. I never got a chance to see you play with my eyes. But I heard you Friday nights on that radio. And Buck Ward was calling the games, man.
It was a
special moment. But we're going to talk about all that down the road, man. So let's just get into it. So Horace, you born in Delray?
No. Actually, I was born in Barnwell, South Carolina.
Okay.
My family brought, my grandfather moved the family down there. Mm-hmm. I was 3 years old.
Wow.
So Delray is really what I know. I mean, where I was born at. I've been up there many times, but I don't know the area and the people that was raised there. My uncle and aunts told me about a lot of things, but again, I go up there now. I have to ask somebody to tell me where to go.
Right. Well, Delray is a city that people migrated to.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I know my family on both sides of the family. Of course, we're not originally from there. You know, my generation, I can say I'm from Delray, but my parents, my dad's side, my paternal side, they're from the islands, from the Bahamas, the Butler side, and then the Weatherspoon side, the Bowie side, you know, we migrated from South Carolina through Georgia to Quincy, Florida, before we headed to Delray, farming. Was a big thing in Delray back in the old days. So that's how most of us got there, right? Well, man, so let's just talk about it. You know, I've had several guys from Delray on the show.
And
it's always a pleasure to have them on and to hear what they got to say about our little city, right? And so before we get to the football field, we're going to talk about the streets of Delray, right? Because I had a group on one time from Southwest 6th Avenue.
That's the street. That's the street, buddy.
I had a group on. And let me tell you who I had on. I had Doug Parker. I had Charles Ferguson, Prince.
Okay.
Albert.
Okay.
I had Anthony Clay, a.k.a. Yep. Butterbean,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And Bubba Brown was supposed to be on, but he couldn't make it. End up being his mom's birthday.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, we had a good time, man. And of course, you were on raised right there. That's where you lived on 6th Avenue.
Right there on 6th Avenue.
Randy Strong.
Right up the street. Randy was at the top of the street on Atlantic there, which was a little two-way road.
Right. His brother Keith and Kevin. Vince.
Yeah, Vince.
You know, and then, you know, the Parker family, right now, they're like the Cornelius family. There's a whole bunch of them, right?
And the Cornelius family was a whole bunch of them, too.
Man, you had Mike, you had Doug, you had Bernard, you had Thad. Man, just a plethora of great football players.
Yeah.
And then Frog Alley wasn't that far away.
Right down the street.
Right down the street.
It was a ton of athletic guys grew up in DRA, man, and and it just you just couldn't count them all. It was a lot.
It was a lot. So now, Horace, I'm talking to those guys, right? And so now I play football with a handful of those guys, and I can say this: they can play ball, right? And I'm gonna say, probably the more physical players came from South Side of Sixth Avenue.
We had to be. He's passed on now. God bless him. Zach, we call him Zach. That's what we know. His name was Alfred Strong, but we call him Zach. We grew up. If you got into it with another guy, or you and him, you didn't like something, right. You immediately stop it. Get the gloves, put the gloves on. That's how we sell it.
That's how you sell it, right?
That's how he sell it. Naturally, you get mad with somebody, hit you wrong, or block you wrong, or did something to you, but he didn't let you just fight that way. You put on the gloves and battle it out, and then he make you shake hands when it's all said and done. Whoever got the best licks today, that's how we grew up, man. And
that's right.
That's where everybody gathered at. Mm-hmm. Starting from from Atlantic Highway down to Second Street, was the two blocks in between there was all of us living there. But now when you pass Second Street and hit Third Street and Fourth Street, you're getting down in Frog Alley. Then you're getting down in there. And that was another set of a lot of guys down there, man. And it's like everybody had. You ever seen the movie The Warriors?
There you go.
Everybody had their little territory, man.
Everybody had their little territory.
All us from. Was 06 right in that group right there. And it was a bunch of guys, not a lot of girls, a bunch of guys was raised up there.
But you know what's amazing, man, because I was fortunate to move around as a kid in Delray, right? And so I remember staying in Carver Park, right?
Yeah.
Then I remember I moved to 12th Avenue right behind Coach Coffee. Coach Coffee lived on 13th.
Yeah, sure did.
Matter of fact, we lived in a duplex right behind the Coffees, right? And so, me and Larry Coffee, we're best of friends to this day, right?
Okay.
So that was my boy. We played a lot of ball there, Carver Park. And then all my relatives lived on the north side. And so I played over there in Poncetta Heights with Tony Scott, Vic Mitchell, Toot Mitchell, Smitty Boo.
I remember them young men. All those guys,
I grew up playing ball with them. And then, of course, you go to Jefferson Manor, you got Anthony Penn, you got Popeye.
Okay.
You got Pop Grover. You had all those guys over there, right?
Right. You walk down
10th, going back to Atlantic, you got Dennis Matthews, Rock.
Yeah.
Then on 11th, you had Greg Dobson, right?
Yeah.
Dude, man, we had some dudes in the city.
the whole city was athletic, and Carver High School. I didn't know that information that I saw. I didn't really get a good history of until I got older. Carver has been a great school, one of the top schools in the county, Palm Beach County, outside of Roosevelt up in West Palm Beach.
Right.
Carver had was the next top high school in this county for blacks now.
That's right.
Blacks because Roosevelt was number one because the county seat being right here in West Palm Beach.
Absolutely.
They was acknowledged with the first all black school.
Oh, right, exactly.
First.
Right.
And didn't come Delray. Because there was no school in black school in Boca.
And Boca.
There was none in Lake Worth. The people from Lake Worth and Boca had to come to Delray.
They had to go to Delray.
Come to Delray.
And that's amazing, Horace, because we talk about it. I mean, right here, we started to talk about the different communities in Delray with all the athletes, right?
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about all the little pockets in Delray. But that little town, man. And then when you add the kids from Boynton.
And that's what I was going to say. You had them from Lake Worth and Boynton.
And Boca, right?
And Boca.
Pearl City, little part of Pearl City.
That little city right there. Right? Yep.
All of them were at one high school.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's like, man, listen, you have to be very good to play there. because, you know, when you think about, I think about your junior year in high school, right? Over at Carver, the seniors in the backfield was Abraham Wooten, Pop Grover, and Greg Dobson. They had three horses, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All of them was good athletes.
Great athletes. And then Randy was playing fullback.
And linebacker. Right.
Right? And so, and then when those guys leave, you know, Gopher, Lesser Flowers.
somebody may not know Gopher, but I don't know who would know Gopher. You know, they know that was his name.
So Lester goes from playing a little wide receiver. Then his senior year, he plays tailback.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That had no Coffey had a, he had the Coach Coffey. He knew how to use his athletes the best to their ability.
Yes, he did.
You know, and that's why they were a good team. They were good. I think they won back to back state championships.
They did. But yeah. I tell you what's incredible to me. For me. All those guys were my heroes, right? I mean, all of you, not just.
It was a lot of guys there. That was a very, very, very athletic.
Yeah, not just the Carver players, but the Seacrest players too. And so when we add y'all to the bunch, because we have to do that, because you're Delray products, right? We add you to the bunch, and let me tell you something. Now we always talk about Carver High won back-to-back state titles. The first year that the all-black schools were allowed to play the white schools in the playoffs, right? Was 68, and Carver won the state title. Matter of fact, before that, the first part of 68, just say the winner of 68, even though we don't have no winners in South Florida, the first part of 68, Roosevelt High School went 27-0
in basketball. Right. First time.
Floyd Andrews coached that team with a guy named Ricardo. Rick Easley, the Laurie guy, you know, they were loaded with talent, and they went undefeated in basketball.
Right.
They were scoring. This is the kind of talent we're talking about, y'all. I hope y'all listen, paying attention. You know, I know I brag on my hometown for all you viewers, but I have to, because this, what I'm telling you, is just amazing. They played 8-minute quarters.
100 points.
I think the highest score they scored in the game was like 160. Think about that. And they bust the clock too many times you couldn't even count them all. So they were scoring 148, 120, 130. You know, they didn't have a three-point line, Horace.
They had some amazing guys there, man. Gregory Lawrence, I would never forget this guy. I mean, he was a pure shooter. He could shoot ball. I don't know if you ever heard of Greg Lawrence?
Out
of West Palm Beach here.
Absolutely.
That cat was bad, man.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, I remember, man, I went to a game seeing, and this, you know, Pop was guarding him. They was trying to tell, holding Pop. Well, Pop couldn't hold him though. That boy could shoot that ball too good. I don't know, nobody could hold him because he went on to be, you know, a great shooter, and he went to college and everything.
Right, and played.
But, you know, a lot of guys went off. We all, you know, but it just wasn't in the stars to go at, you know, pro, you know.
Oh, exactly. But they were great players. And so they did what they did. And then that was the top of 68. And then the fall of 68, Carver High won state title. And then, so we talk about being ahead of your time. And you talked about Coach Coffey, how, you know, he knew how to play his talent. You know, Greg Dobson, you know, was a star running back, but Greg Dobson caught a lot of balls out the backfield. I'm not talking about no check downs. They were putting Greg out there. Greg was running corner routes. You know, they were throwing him the ball downfield like he was Billy Plummer or Barry Hill or Alfonso Wilson, right? And here's the real proof of that pudding. It was Anthony Penn threw for over 4,600 yards his last 2 years in high school. In an era, Horace, where we didn't throw the football. We run the football. We throw when we have to.
Yeah.
Because I know at Seacrest, y'all didn't throw that much because the same system you ran in high school, I ran the same system.
I think it was that The double wing or something?
Double wing. That's
what,
right.
What called Wilder had? Y'all ran the same plays.
I ran the same plays, man. Yeah, that offense had been around a lot, and it was very effective.
Yeah.
But as a former quarterback myself, when I see what Penn did, I scratch my head. That was amazing. But let's get on with this here, man. So Del Rey is loaded.
Always has been.
Del Rey was so loaded back in your day that even guys at the all black high school had to wait their turn. Some little
there's
guys
too many play. There. It's too many in one city.
Too many in one city.
So we all couldn't play on the same team.
Some of those guys who played at Carver couldn't play until their senior year.
Yep.
And then some of you guys, when did the African Americans start going to Seacrest? Was it 65? Yvonne Odom integrated Seacrest and what?
Was it 65? Let me see. Was it 65?
It was somewhere in there.
You're right. It was in the middle of the 60s.
It was somewhere in there.
Because when we graduated, we could go to any school we wanted to go.
Right.
We wasn't forced to go there.
Right.
We went there by choice.
A choice. Absolutely.
But in 70, there was forced to go there. Everybody was forced to go to different schools because
absolutely.
You know what it was if they didn't do that, mm-hmm. it would have still been a lot of championships right out of Delray school, right out of Delray coming from there because just too much talent in one little spot all could play.
But here's what I want to say. All right, we know about Carver, but we got to talk about Seacrest. See, this is important. People don't know. What I'm about to talk about right now, people don't know.
No.
All right. So, Horace, when you were at Seacrest High School, you never lost a game to anybody in Palm Beach County in your 4 years of high school. Am I right?
In Palm Beach County?
In Palm Beach County. I don't think y'all lost nobody in Palm Beach.
Not in high school.
Not in high school.
We lost a team from Orlando and called Edgewater.
You lost a satellite 1 year.
We lost a satellite, the Edgewater.
Right.
Vero Beach,
right.
Vero beat us, the Indians. Them boys beat us. They beat us the identical same scores we beat them my junior year. They beat us our senior year. Right. They beat us the same scores.
Exactly.
Identical. Bobby, excuse me 1 second.
Go ahead.
Yes. I'm on the podcast now with my friend. That's my wife checking in.
Hey, you gotta take that one, bro. I'm with you.
Yes, sir.
So you guys had not lost a game in the county, right? And that was the same thing that we did my 4 years at Atlantic. Nobody in Palm Beach County ever beat us.
No. You know what? The thing was back in the time when I was in school. The thing was, why don't Carver and Seacrest play each other?
Right.
Exactly. And a lot of that was an interesting thing that everybody wanted to see happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know we had our little talk up. They had their talk up. Mm-hmm. And you know, again, like Randy, you know, it would mostly be with Randy when we on six, when we would be,
right,
be
right.
out there. And, we all see somebody else that go to Carver. Some of the guys who I knew and was there and we would do a lot. We would leave our school. We would leave Seacrest, mm-hmm. and drive over to Carver, mm-hmm. and go to the cafeteria to eat because, boy, look, ain't nothing. ain't nobody could beat Miss Bean and that cook in the cafeteria cooking, boy.
We did that
a lot of times, man, go there and eat lunch because it was just not the type of food served over there that we grew up on, you know?
That's right. It's not like that home cooking now. So let's talk about it. You guys had great records at Seacrest, right? In the county, like I said, you guys, at one time, y'all won 21 or 22, right? And then now let me ask you this before I go on with this. I want to get to this point before I go on. So as a junior, did you play on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball?
Defense.
What position?
Safety.
Safety.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, who was in the secondary with you your junior year?
Simi was the other safety. Ronald was one of the little
corners.
Linebacker. No. Simi. Ronald and I played cornerback. Simi played safety.
Okay.
Me and Ronald was the corners. Simi was the safety with Allen. He was a quarterback. Allen was the quarterback his senior year.
Okay.
You might have his name. I don't know if you got his name there.
I think I do.
His name is Allen Franklin.
Allen Franklin.
That's his name. Allen Franklin.
He played
both sides. Been a long time ago now. Okay, that's been a long time ago. 50 years.
He played both sides of the ball. Now let me ask you a question. When Steve Harden was playing quarterback, did he play just offense or he played offense and defense?
No, just offense.
Just offense. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Franklin played both sides of the ball.
Yeah, Franklin. Franklin. See, me, Simi, and Ronald, and Franklin was the defensive backfield in our junior year. But okay. We got to play some offense.
Right.
Because, I'm gonna tell you what Coffee did. I mean, not Coffee. Cooper and Wilder. He named the backfield every year a certain group of a type of car. You know, when Doug Davis was there and everything, yes, they were called the Thunder and Herd.
Oh yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They were called the Thunder and Herd because there was a big backs. I mean, Greg Meeks.
Yes.
Greg Meeks and Doug Davis.
Yes, sir.
And I forgot the other running back we had. His name was, well, he was a tough guy too. He was his body was chiseled. I can't remember his name. But them boys was big guys. These you talking about 200-some-pound running backs. Now, when they graduated, right, we came along, and he named us he called us because of the quickness. He named us racing cars. That was Rock. We had racing car names.
Rock was
TR4 and something. Simi was this, and I forgot what. I don't even remember my name. We all had the symbols on our helmet.
Right.
Well, after cars.
Okay.
But we were smaller and faster. It was funny. And
that's funny, man.
When I think back at that, mm-hmm, how and then after we left, I don't know what you guys did it give you guys a name?
When I played, Wilder was a head coach when I got to high school.
Okay.
Coach Cooper was still on campus. But he wasn't coaching anymore. But Coach Wilder had us going, man. I mean, he was a great coach. An offensive minded guy.
He was good.
He had a great coaching staff. Yeah. He was a slick guy. When I say slick, he knew the little nuances, to get things done. And then when I started playing quarterback, of course, we can do a lot of different things. One of the things that we did extremely well, we ran that 529, 521 bootleg.
You remember that play?
Oh, I was the quarterback, man. I'm calling the shots. I remember
that. How did you like that counter that he had? He had a counter play.
Let me tell you something.
That was a bad play.
That counter. Listen to me now. That counter was the most beautiful play we had in our offense.
Yep.
That counter.
He would set that up on teams, man. He would run a certain play. He set it up nicely by running a certain play, and then he would come back with that trap counter, boy.
He would run the quick pitch.
Oh yeah.
When the wing back will move, will already set, he'll take off running, right? And by the time we're doing about a tackle, we'll toss it. And so we run that quick pitch. And then all of a sudden we'll turn around, we'll fake that quick pitch and that everything, the lineman pull, and everybody come on underneath and you hand that count.
His offense ran a fullback.
That's right.
He ran a fullback and two wings.
Two wings.
He ran the two wings and a fullback.
That's it.
And Ronald played one, and Simi played, was it Simi? Yeah, Ronald played one. Simi played one. I played fullback.
You played fullback. That's right.
And I know Ronald played one, and I'm thinking it was Simi. And then, but we had a lot of guys who again, like you said, they were we that that was backups. Mm-hmm. They played, you know, they were second.
Right,
but,
right.
And
right.
They played, and they, you know, but the starters was you know, and everybody can't start. So, you know, a certain people,
right,
a
group right. of
people started. But they people brought plays in, so they get they did get a chance to play because they would bring plays in.
Well, Horace, now, so let me ask you this, because you played with some guys, some dynamic guys. You played as a junior, you had Rock Matthews, you know, Dennis Matthews run the ball, and he was a thoroughbred, right?
Oh, Rock. And Rock, he was fast is a, what do you call them cheetahs?
Them cheetahs, fast, man. Boy. Hey, Rock could run. You know, when I was a kid, man, I used to go in the gym. You know, Rock was all on the track. He had all the records at Seacrest.
Yeah.
On the track.
He ran, right. He ran track.
You know, they had that stuff in the gym up there.
Oh, yeah.
Right over the boys' locker room.
Yeah.
And I go on,
you're right.
I used to go in their hearts and look up there, man. And I said, man, I want to break one of the records. I mean, I used to, almost every time I went in there, I would look up there.
Right. That was the goal. Was to make you guys want to do that. Well, that's the purpose of it.
I wanted to do it, and before I left, I got two of them off that board. But you had Rock, you had Dennis Matthews, right?
Yeah.
And as a 10th grader, did you play 10th grade varsity on 10th grade?
No, we played. We moved up to the varsity after the junior varsity season was over.
Right.
I think they had about three or four more games left.
Right.
Because we only played like eight games, I believe.
Right.
Uh-huh. So I think they had about two or three games left.
Uh-huh.
And but a lot of days, we practiced with them.
Oh,
we
absolutely.
Practiced with them. Absolutely. But then the last two or three games that was left, mm-hmm. we actually played on the team with them.
Right.
But you know, a lot of it is practice. We didn't play a lot.
Right.
But we kept playing, going on with the season,
right.
And that helped us because the same thing they were doing, Wilder knew that, and that just helped us. Cutto got the plays and the system down even better. Right. Our next year up, senior years.
It was your time. So we know Dennis was a fast guy. He was great. But then your senior year, you led the team in rushing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You led the team in rushing.
Yep.
Right? And in the same backfield you had one of the most explosive Seahawks of all time. I haven't seen them all, but I know wasn't nobody as explosive as Ronnie Mack.
Ronald was the type of guy who could break one anytime.
Anytime.
You know who he was like? Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, that's right.
If he come out of the backfield catching balls all the time too, because he played flanker. He was a flanker.
Right.
And he'll be the runner. He would line up as a runner as one of the wing backs, or mm-hmm. he'll line up as a flanker. Coffee had played design just for not Coffee. Wilder had played design just for Ronald.
For Ronnie, right.
Ronald was a natural athlete, man.
Listen, Horace. So, all right. So now, you know, I know all y'all, right?
Yeah.
I'm a little boy. I can see you at the store. I'm not going to say nothing to you, but I know who you are, right?
And I knew who you were.
Right? And so I would see Ronnie Mack. And, you know, when I was in middle school, I was taller than Ronnie Mack. Right? I'm at the same height that I am today in the eighth grade. I haven't grown.
Yeah, Ronald was about 5'7.5", 5'8".
7.5", right.
Yeah.
So
same height we all was.
I know about him. I know how fast he was, but I'm gonna tell you what got me. Remember, I just told you how I used to go in the gym, look at the track records on the board.
Right.
Ronnie Mack name was up there. Ronnie Mack at 5'7", however tall he was, had the high jump record at Seacrest. He jumped 6'8" at his height. So that showed me he got explosion.
Oh, yeah.
That dude can get up. And we know he was fast. So he was Tyreek Hill, no doubt about it. Anytime he catches it, he'll be gone.
Look here, you know how Coach Wilder used to have you do them sprints?
Uh-huh.
Them closeout sprints.
Yep.
And you know, practice over. You done practice your tail off, your tie, mm-hmm. and he would have you running them sprints.
You didn't
realize how important that was, and how much endurance mm-hmm. that built and stamina you built up. yeah. and was ready for the game. But we played certain teams. And it like, you know, they were, we could see them, we could tell when they tied because, you know, we run a play and we'll run that same, Coach Waddle would run that same play three mm-hmm. and four times back and we would make them, you know, he would run it until they stop it.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You have to stop it.
And so we was in good shape. And now, here now, we got to run these plays. Mm-hmm. Ronald would play like he got a cramp. He can't run, but he would outrun everybody. The backs ran against the backs. The linemen right. ran against with the linemen. And right. everybody, you know, the positions ran kind of mm-hmm. like with the position. Mm-hmm. And Ronald would play like he cramping and trying to not get out of it. But you know what? Now this, we're just high school players, but Coach Coffey, he knew how to give certain players leeway mm-hmm. to keep things cool. You know, like in the pros, you see certain players get certain privileges.
Yeah,
everybody didn't get the same privilege that Ronald got sometimes.
For
you know, getting out of practice with something, you know. Just had natural ability. Ronald missed practice Wednesday. A Thursday, but come Friday night, Ronald was starting.
He's ready to go. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna tell you something, Coach Wilder. You talk about those wind sprints, right? So, my junior year, we're running wind sprints at the end of practice. It's hard. I'm in the middle of the group. I'm just running with my buddies, right?
Yeah.
I'm just really just jogging for me, right? And so after practice, he sent everybody up. I'm getting ready to go up. He said, "No, Bobby, I want you to stay. I need you to stay here with me." What he said to me changed my life. This is what he said to me. He said, "Bobby, are you the fastest guy on the team?" And I'm like, "Coach, you don't know?" I'm looking at him like, "I thought you knew that, right?"
He did.
He used to call me Bullet Bob. That was my name, Bullet Bob. And so I say, "Yeah, Coach, I am." He said, "Well, why are you in the middle of the pack when we're doing wind sprints?" And then he followed up with this question. He said, "Bobby, are you my quarterback?" I said, "Coach, you know I'm your quarterback." He said, "Well, I promise you one thing. If you will lead by example and lead out front, mm-hmm. these guys will follow you anywhere you go." That changed my life. That was the last day I ever loafed at the end of practice doing wind sprints. Because, see, Horace, during my day, see, I played quarterback. I played free safety. I was the punter. I was a punt returner.
Yeah, I did.
I was a kickoff returner. Was on the kickoff team. That's the only time I came off the field. Just one play, and I go back at it, right? And so I had to be in shape.
Yeah,
of course. But it changed my life, and what it made me do, it made me lead. It put me out front.
That's what he wanted from you.
Yeah, I can push my teammates to get better. Because I used to, as a quarterback, I used to go over with the lineman over to the sled, right? And I would call everything on a quick count. And boy, they'd be tired. They'd be looking up at me. You know, give us a – bro, we got to get ready for Friday night. Mm-hmm. We got to get ready to go. And when Friday night came, them boys was blocking their butt off, right?
And that's what he wanted to see out of you, you know, because –
that's what he wanted to see.
And guess what, Bobby? You guys had some good teams, man.
We had some good teams.
Yeah, some good teams. Y'all, Atlantic has, you know, actually, I think y'all had better teams than we had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you guys went to the state. One time, y'all went. I don't know how deep did y'all go in the state playoffs, but one of them, didn't you?
Well, my 4 years in high school as a freshman, of course, I wasn't playing football. I was playing my other last year. I played with Delray Rocks, but they were undefeated. They lost the state title game.
That's what I'm saying. They won a couple of playoffs to get in the state title game. Yeah,
they lost to Haines City in the state title game at Atlantic. Then my sophomore year, when I got on the varsity, we were 7-1-1. We tied a game with Glade Central, right? The first game of the year, we tied with Glade Central.
Yeah.
And some kind of way, they won the tiebreaker. And they went on and won state that year,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And then we come back my junior year, and we – we went all the way to the state title game. We lost the state title game my junior year to Ocala Forest. And then my senior year, we were undefeated and lost the state title game by 1 point to Panama City Bay High. So in my 4 years of high school, we played for 3 title games.
Yeah, right, right.
So, we were doing it. But one of the things, Horace, one of the things I wish we had did different. Because, you know, back then, football was always sold as a tough thing, right? You know, you had to be tough to play. We'll have 300 kids come out for the football team. But we won't keep a 28.
They wanted to see what it was lacking to realize that this ain't no flag football game.
You know, flag football. but talking about talent, see, y'all had a talent issue. Carver had a talent issue. We had a talent issue. Mm-hmm. Now, two of the best athletes that I ever played with in high school, one was a guy named Mo Wesley and another named Chuck Jones.
No, both
Chuck
of them.
Jones and Mo Wesley didn't play football until their senior year in high school.
Chuck, I know didn't do that until the end. I know about him, but I didn't know Lil Mo didn't play football.
But
he didn't play football with the Rocks and stuff?
He did with the Rocks, but he didn't play at Atlantic until that varsity football until his senior year.
To his senior year, okay.
Right,
okay.
Because he
I didn't know, but I know about Chuck. I know because he told me about that. I got to, you know.
Hey, listen, Chuck Jones was a thoroughbred of an athlete, bro. And, Chuck Jones took care of me in high school because I was a young guy playing varsity basketball with Chuck and running track with Chuck. And so Chuck would come pick him up. I wouldn't have to catch a bus. He'd drive me to school. We hang out like that. And,
well, that was good.
We were best of friends, man.
Yeah.
And so I learned a lot from him. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot from him. And but when he came out, now you talking about running that counter? Can't nobody run that counter like Chuck Jones.
Okay.
I know he was tall, right?
Yeah, he is a little tall. Right.
Man, when he carried that corner, he looked like what's the old running back name? Lenny Moe from the Baltimore Colts.
From the Colts.
He looked like Lenny Moe coming around that corner, bro. I'm telling you.
I don't know if you remember this tall guy played for Cincinnati, but Chuck Muncy. Man, I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Listen, I played against Chuck Muncy.
You did?
I was playing with the Saints when I first got to Atlanta, and then they traded him and Wes Chandler to the San Diego Chargers, and then he played with San Diego. Chuck Muncy was a bad boy.
Yeah, I like the way he ran. That he reminds me of Vincent Noble.
Ah,
that's another rule to run like that. Like
wait a minute now, wait a minute.
Like
now, wait
down on, when he run, man.
Hold on now. You say who? Vincent who?
Vint Novas.
Vince Novas was a monster, wasn't he?
Well, yes, goodness.
He was a monster.
Again, there wasn't in the stars, but a hell of a. Carver had so many great athletes, man. Just, and that information that you share with me,
right?
I had boy brought back memories, because like I said, my seventh grade year and eighth grade year, I was one of the trainers.
Okay,
you know, so I got to see those guys play every day. You know,
you were up close and personal.
Yeah, I got them to see a player practice every day, and got them to see them playing games and the real games, and over in Belgrade and up at West Palm Beach and down to Dillard. The schools that we went to play, man. And everything, I saw him play. And George Williams, him and my other Uncle Larry, George Williams and Larry, they both played for Cooper.
They did? And,
Coach Cooper, yes. They played. Okay. So, George Sutton. Tatum, Jack Tatum.
Yes, sir.
A lot of the guys with Timmy Wallace.
Timmy Wallace, man.
I was there. I was a trainer, so I saw these guys as I was coming up, man, and everything. And it was nice. You know,
it had to be special.
I forgot some of the stuff, man. But it was to be on that bus. Going on those trips, man, and they be singing those old Carver songs and everything.
So I'm going to tell you what we got a chance to do. My generation, right? So we just behind you guys. So when you're in high school, I'm like in the fifth, sixth, seventh grade, right? So, of course, we got the experience, the Carver High, the band, you know. We even did a show one time, Horace, on Carver High Band. We had them all on the show, right? Yeah. Mr. Wesley, about within a year. We had them all on the show, man. It was a great show.
I wish I would have seen that. I wish I had not got a hold of this earlier.
The whole thing was an experience.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had a great band. We had a great football team, right? And then you had those of us who was behind looking up, you know, hoping and a wishing and a waiting for our time. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Everybody was waiting on their time, right?
That's right.
And so at Spady Elementary in 1968, Bill Smith, who founded the Delray Rocks, who's a special man, by the way. He's a special man. And Bill Smith gave us an outlet, my generation, my age group, an opportunity to play organized football and emulate our heroes.
Yeah.
All of you guys, right?
Because that's when it started.
Man, listen.
Up until that time, there was
we didn't have no organized. You have no organized like that.
Right. Where we played other.
Right.
You know,
and so now.
Played this Sandlot.
I'm out there with my number 10 on. I was Anthony Penn when I played the Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
They should have put Penn name on the back of my number 10 jersey when I was playing.
Yeah, but you got to be every kid that's never been anything. They've always had somebody who they looked up to, you know?
I mean, and it was special. So now I'm here. I am a son of a preacher who didn't get a chance to go to all the Carver High games, had to stay home on Friday night, right? So I can hear the band playing.
Right.
And then sometimes that's when we were living in Carver Park. That
was right, you can see the lights.
That was early on. In my room, I had my daddy binoculars, and I would always have binoculars on the field, right? And so if they got on a certain hash, I can see some plays.
Awesome.
But then, you know, most times you can't hardly see it come in and out. Right?
Well, people.
But I'll be in that window all night trying to catch somebody just to come on there. I can hear the band playing from my house. I just couldn't go.
I can see you now.
Oh, my God. And so then when I found out about Seacrest was playing on the radio, and I heard you guys playing, right? And so I couldn't see you, but the most powerful tool that man possess is their mind. Hmm. Okay? The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he.
Yeah.
All right? So I was able to visualize, dream, and wait on my time. And so even though I didn't see you play personally, I heard you play more than I saw Carver play. Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
I heard you play. I know you was a fullback. I know you. And see, I was talking with Rock. We was talking. And was it Rock? I think it was Rock said, I think Horace played one of the wingbacks. I said, no, man. I said, no. I said, Horace played fullback, man.
Right. Yeah, I was a fullback.
I said, Horace played fullback. I said, I know he played fullback, right?
The funny thing is, Bobby, mm-hmm. I mean, I was like 158, 160. But I was heavier than Simeon Ronald. You know,
right.
I was heavier than those guys were. You know, Alan Franklin.
Right.
And I wasn't, like I'm saying, the heaviest that when I left high school, mm-hmm. I was at 168. After my first year up in Chihuahuan, I got to 178, and then and it still was little, but not big. But I was, you know, we was in great shape, Coach. We was in good shape, and you know that was. And then my sophomore year, I got up to 180.
Uh-huh.
Boy, I haven't gotten down past one. I haven't since leaving college. I haven't gotten past 180 yet. I'm still up there, man. I was 193 now.
Hey, the hardest thing for us to do is to get that old weight back.
Yeah, it's good.
And I was a little dude, and you know what? I never played football my whole life. A lot of people say that's not true. When I went to Florida State, they put it this way. Coach Bowden thought I weighed 170 pounds. That's what they told him. But you know, in college, you know how they make your weight in practice, and then you have to weigh out? Yeah. I ain't weighed but 145. And so you can imagine weighing 145 and what I weighed when I came off the field.
Around about 130.
138, 137, yeah. 135, right?
Right.
So you lose 8 to 10 pounds of water weight.
Right, exactly.
You know? And Coach Bowden thought I was a liability. I said I didn't know this at the time. So I go out there, and the first week, the end of the first week, I knocked the tight end out. I knocked him out cold in practice. I knocked him out. And never had another conversation about my weight. And then when I graduated 4 years later, when I come out 4 years later and got drafted, a lot of people don't believe me when I tell them this. I only weighed 155 the day I got drafted.
That's it's almost unthinkable.
Seriously. I mean,
it is, right?
It's unthinkable. Right now, you put a guy out on the field, and you know, some of the little tight wide receivers, those guys are light like that. Mm-hmm. But when you're trying to tackle a guy who's about 210 or 195, especially one of those running backs,
right?
And you out there with that 140 sub, that you would think that you're going to be the one who's going to get to be punished.
Hey, well, guys, I'll tell you this. I did get punished.
Well,
but I want to play so bad. I kept doing it again and again and again. It hurts so good.
I can imagine what, you know, back at that time, what you know, the your parents thought at the moment. Boy, they hope, just praying and hoping that you don't get hurt out there, man.
I'm gonna tell you that. I'm glad you mentioned my parents, because that's another thing, right? The support I had in my home was so great.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So my mom always would tell me, Bobby, there ain't nothing you can't do. You can do it.
Oh, she put that in there.
When I tell you this, I had two people that were in my mastermind group. I didn't know it was a mastermind group then, but you know, it was a mastermind group. All right. My mother, because she's spoken into me. Mm-hmm. Larry Coffey, because we were both dreaming and trying to go to the same place. And so we used to, like when kids from Carver would go to college and they come back, they quit, Larry called me. He said, man, you ain't gonna believe such and such done came home. And Will said, man, if we get that opportunity, we ain't coming back.
Right, yeah.
And if we get that, we're in elementary school, Horace, talking like this. Man, if we get that chance, we're not coming back home unless we get hurt.
You guys came along at a good time, man. A good time.
It was the best time.
Yeah, you had a lot of people ahead of you and then having that key thing, because again, your mm-hmm. that mindset that your mother and your parents mm-hmm. gave you and Larry Coffey. This is where it's all at though.
You got to
have it here, and it's transform into here. You got to have that passion for it and transform it. And you can do almost anything, man. If you really want.
You put your mind to, yeah. You know, yeah. what's the old proverb? If you can conceive it, you can achieve it. Right.
And I believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I believe in that.
Absolutely.
Sometimes things get cut short mm-hmm. from accidents and injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't because that it wasn't there
right
up here.
Right, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Because you got to get the body physically ready
for
the mental aspects of that game. It's a tough, not just that game. Anything that you really want to achieve.
And listen, let me say this. If we look at all the major sports, right? Which sport would you say is the least physical out of all of them?
All sports?
Football, basketball, baseball, golf, track. Well, yeah, just any of those major sports. Soccer. What is the least physical?
The least physical, I would say, would be golf. But it's not. Golf is a man, game you got to get in good, great shape.
People don't know how physical golf is, right?
There you are. That's what you would think that, because of the way you look at it, you play it by yourself. In other words, you're playing competition, but you're not hitting yourself and you ain't running against yourself.
Yeah.
But you got to be in shape.
You got to be in great shape. Tiger changed the game.
Of course.
See, before Tiger, nobody was in physical shape.
Of course.
Tiger started working out. He's benching over 300, hitting a golf ball farther than anybody. And so, guess what? He changed the game.
Yeah.
And so now everybody has adopted that. I was looking at some of those guys yesterday that's playing the Masters, and they fit. That guy wasn't on the golf course pre-Tiger. Oh. You know, they all had guts right here, and yep. they hit the ball.
Yeah, yep.
They were not in that kind of shape and condition. No. These guys in shape now.
Oh, of course, they because of guys that Tim and Tiger came along. He was a kid.
He
did things that everybody, the buzz. I had a friend say, "Who's this little black kid, man? Is out there in California? He's beating everybody." Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and then he said, "Bush, my friend named Bobby Jones mm-hmm. from Maryland, was at IBM." He says, "Man, you gotta see, you gotta see him, you gotta see him." He said, "Man, this kid, you ain't never seen no." I said, "He said, he's in college." He wasn't even in college. He said, but this boy's gonna be a pro. He's gonna be a pro. He said, "Watch what I tell you." He said, "I'll tell you this now, and I'll never forget." But he said, "You go." He's gonna be famous.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "He's gonna be famous." He said, "You can see it," and you know, I didn't play golf that then, but I, you know, and I didn't even was interested in golf.
Right.
But he was. And he would always, you know,
but man,
get me to go play sometime, you know, but I. You know, I did once a couple times.
Well,
it wasn't my game, you know.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something about that golf game. It's a great game, right?
Yeah.
I played in a tournament in Tallahassee last week, third.
Oh yeah.
Friday. Yeah, I went down to Tallahassee, played with the FSU group.
Okay.
But anyway, that little ball, you tee it up, you put it on a tee, right? It's not moving. It don't come at you in the shape of a curveball, slider, knuckleball, fastball. It's just sitting there.
Right. That's what I thought it was so.
And you get up there and you look out there in the fairway before you hit. And you line up right, get your shoulders right, get your feet right. And let's say it's wide open. Let's say we're playing in South Florida. It's wide open. And you can't hit that ball consistently in the middle of that fairway to save your life. But I know guys go out there on that baseball diamond and they hit that ball, they'll place that ball every time, put it in play, right? But that little ball ain't moving. And it's the hardest game on the planet to play. That sport, Horace, is the only sport where the number one player in the world don't win every tournament.
Right.
Matter of fact, he don't even win. Right. He don't even win 80% of the time. Matter of fact, he don't even win 40% of the time.
Yeah.
But he may finish in the top five or top 10. He's always finishing in the top group.
Right.
You know, but you know, he might not even win a tournament that year. But
I have looked at some stats, and then I'll look at, you know, because see, the only reason I would look at the golf stats is because, well, I didn't know anybody who they're famous, but there were some black guys who played golf
mm-hmm.
before Tiger, and they were good. They just didn't make it
like that.
They just didn't get right. as good as he. They didn't right. get where he got to.
Right, right.
Here's what I'm saying. You like you was talking about the guy who's number one in the world
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He may not win. Be the champ of these different tournaments, but at the end of the year, he's won the most money because of the places, the position that he was second in this tournament.
Right.
He was third in this
tournament. That tournament.
He didn't win. Right. He didn't actually right. win the tournament.
Right.
But he's got so many second and third places, right. boy. He got more money than all of them.
It's no joke. And I didn't realize that until it's been some years ago. It could have been the early 2000s. It could have been the 90s.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a guy named Duvall. He played golf at Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept saying he was the number one player in the world. So I'm looking at him, but he hadn't won a tournament this year. I go, what? Well, how's he
number right, one? Right, right.
He ain't won. How's he gonna be number one? And so I didn't know about that at the time.
Yeah.
And that amazed me because any other sport, the best player gonna win 80 to 85% of the time. They're going to win 80-85% of the time, every time. I don't care if it's track, basketball, football for sure, right?
Yeah.
they're gonna win most of the time. The best team gonna win. They may have a letdown on, you know, one game or so, but they're gonna come right back the next week and win.
But you know what's funny? Duplicating a championship season. Duplicating it is one of the hardest things to do. Is duplicate. Now you get teams that do it, mm-hmm. and again, sometimes the best team don't always win. The team that's most athletic don't always win. Sometimes.
Hey, listen, I can tell you about that.
Well, I'm pretty sure you've experienced that.
I can tell you about that. That's true.
We lost the game over in Firm, Virginia, mm-hmm. to a team. You know, we were way better than, right. You know, we knew this physically. Right. We had watched films of this team and seen them all week uh-huh. when we played them. Uh-huh. But we got out there, and Bobby, it was so cold, man. I ain't never been that cold in my life, man.
Wow.
I couldn't even feel the ball.
Wow.
I couldn't feel it. I fumbled the ball three times.
Wow.
Because I couldn't feel it.
You couldn't feel it, right, exactly.
Those guys out there, we had a heater on our side. Mm-hmm. We had on long johns and stuff. Mm-hmm. Guys mm-hmm. out there short, they didn't have their socks. You know, we had socks come all the way up our leg, man. Hey. Those guys had on short sleeve shirt, hey. Had on the little short socks. And right, they beat right. the crap out of us out there that night, man.
You were in college? You were in college then?
Yes, man. They beat the crap out of us, man.
Listen,
I was so cool. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, we athletic-wise, we knew we were the better team.
Oh, we were the better team, but we didn't play.
We lost two games that year. We lost 8-2. But that was one of the teams that beat the crap out of us out there that night. And we thought we were going to beat them.
Y'all had a pretty good team up there. There's a bunch of guys. How many guys from Delray was up there?
From Delray was me, Simi, and Ronald.
You, Simi, and Ronald.
Simi, and Ronald from Delray. Now, there was a couple more guys there from Florida. One was from Vero. Okay. One was from the Panhandle.
Okay.
And I think... I'm trying to think. It was one from Jacksonville.
Okay.
But from Delray, it was just us three.
Just all three.
But there was a lot of guys from Virginia and North Carolina. There was some people from New York there. Mm-hmm. One of our best friends, he was from a little town in North Carolina outside of Charlotte, uh-huh. was where he's from. Uh-huh. And he took us down to Charlotte a lot. But we called him Gibby. Okay. We brought him down here with us one. We brought him down here the first Thanksgiving, and when he saw a coconut tree, I don't know how he said that. He said, "What's them pineapples?" No, man, pineapples don't grow up in the tree. But he tickled us, man.
Oh my God!
That was his first time coming down to Florida, but he was a real nice guy. He showed us around, and we didn't know nowhere to go up there, but he was the type of guy.
I tell you what, Horace. Yeah, you mentioned being cold like that, right? See, we are fortunate where we come from. And, you know, we get to thinking that the whole world is all about our little world and Delray Beach.
Right.
So we fortunate, man, because, you know, Thanksgiving Day and, at the end of the football season, we're still 75-80.
Exactly. We're pretty much year round like that.
Yeah, we see a game on TV. Like I remember when the Cowboys played the Packers in the Ice Bowl.
Oh my goodness!
I'm seeing this stuff, man.
Yeah,
I'm going like, man, why are you playing that kind of weather? Well, when I went to college, I got it. In Tallahassee, we played Memphis State. They were Memphis State back then. It was 16 degrees.
Who goes out in that? Who play football in that?
And so I never got used to it. And then when I got in the league, of course, you know, I got it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we played in Chicago in 85, the year the Bears won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
20 below zero with the wind chill.
You know what what puzzles me still as of now? Mm-hmm. What? How do they get in shape? How do you condition your mind to play in that kind of weather? Well, I mean, it's so cold. I couldn't focus on football when I was cold like that. I don't know how you can focus out there. I thought maybe they put something in you. Y'all giving y'all something.
The hardest thing to do in the cold is catch the ball.
Yes.
Okay. So by the time when that happened in 85, my fingers were not cold because They had just came out, Billy White Shoes, who's my roommate, used to wear these scuba gloves. All right, they were scuba gloves that you go in the water, you know, you deep, scuba gloves.
Scuba diving and all that.
Yeah, he had some, and boy, he'd be catching everything. Bam, bam, bam. So and then at the time, they had these little leather gloves they would give everybody else, and they'd be cold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He said, Bob, he said, man, you need to get some of these scuba gloves. He said, because, man, it's warm on the inside of here. Man, I got me some. My fingers were good, right? But the problem when you're playing weather like 20 below, it don't matter what you got. You cold is cold.
Yeah.
And what they do, they come out, just like you say, in short sleeve shirt. It's an intimidating factor, right? It's a psychological deal when they come out like that. It's 20 below. They got on short sleeve. But I found out a couple years later, I found out how they do that. There's a secret to it.
And I always thought that.
There's a secret to it.
I always thought there's something that they
have to do. Here's what you have to do. You have to put Vaseline on your arms.
And close your pores.
It closes your pores. Right? That's the
secret. Yes, got that. See? Yeah, it's such a simple thing that I never thought that.
Never thought that. That's what they do. Yeah. Because I'm going like, man, they got to be cold just like I'm cold now. Come on now.
How can these guys play out there? And I said, how can they play out there in this weather like that? Oh, my goodness.
And you know, Walter Payton run that ball that day, too, bro.
Oh, yeah.
He would run that ball. Man.
You know what they called him, right?
Huh?
You know what his nickname was, right?
Sweetness.
Sweetness
was running that ball that day. That joker disappeared on me one time out there, man. I'm telling you. I saw him.
But you went to hit him?
I went to hit him.
Right.
I saw him, and all of a sudden, I didn't see him.
He was good.
And what he did, I was coming up to hit him, and he did a hard spin move on the inside. And he spun so hard, he ended up falling down, right? But it's like he was dead. All of a sudden, he was gone. Where he at?
he was amazing, man.
Hey,
the funny thing about that, and I tell people that all the time, I say, you'll be surprised that these little old colleges that has a student body of 15,000.
Right.
As opposed to a school that's got a 70,000 students there.
Right, exactly.
You find some of the best gyms or the best backs. I said, the reason why you don't hear nothing about them is because they don't get that exposure. They don't get that exposure. They don't play on TV. You don't know nothing about them until they get a tryout. So many of them, a school like Grambling, and they had a great coach, you know, and stuff like that in some of the major colleges. Mm-hmm. Look at Jerry Rice, come out of a little school up in Mississippi you never heard of, you know. But
hey, this is what I tell kids. You know, nowadays, kids are so, they want to make it, right? And so I got to go play five-star in college. I said, no, you don't.
No.
I said, all you got to do, do this. When you watch an NFL game, don't leave in the beginning of the game. Wait till the players come and introduce themselves and tell you where they're from. Everybody don't come from Alabama, Georgia, Florida State, Miami, right? You'll hear school names you ain't never heard of before.
Yeah.
But they play on Sunday. So don't think you got to be a five-star to make it.
Right.
Listen, you just got to go, and whatever opportunity you get, go take advantage of it.
That's it.
Jerry Rice went to Mississippi Valley State.
Yep. Never heard of the school before.
Terrell Owens went to Tennessee Chattanooga. Come on, man. These guys are Hall of Famer NFL players.
Right.
It don't matter where you play. Go and do the work.
Before we end our show today, we'd like to mention one more time, this show is presented by Bet Online.
Hey, look, Horace, man, look, bless you, man. We ran out of time.
All right. Bobby, it's been great. I'm going to remember this forever. As long as I'm living, I'll remember this day, man.
Hey, we're going to do it again. We're going to get a group of Seacrest guys together. We're going to chop it up. We're going to have a good time, man. Right?
Keep me in the loop, Bobby. Keep me in the loop.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
It's been a ball.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show for tonight. If you like the show, comment, share it with your friends. I'm your host, Bobby Butler. And tonight we had the great legend from Delray Beach himself, Mr. Horace Bush.
You make me feel like I've done something.
You did something, bro. I promise you did something.
All right, Bobby. Take care. God bless you and your family, man.
All right, you too.
What is your favorite moment from football history? What teams and players are you cheering on? And who will win it all? We want to hear from you, our listeners. Head over to 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch and leave us a comment. We might use your suggestion in an upcoming episode. Tune in daily to the podcast and watch our show live every week. We are 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio on the Believe Podcast Network.